We have been studying the Sermon on the Mount, and we want to continue doing that. It is quite possibly the best known and certainly one of the greatest sermons ever recorded for us. And Jesus touches on many subjects, so many subjects in that short period of time. It's kind of interesting, actually, as you look at these three chapters. I have a feeling that if most preachers in most congregations today got up and preached a sermon like the one Jesus preached here, people would complain about it. They'd say, well, he was all over the map. He talked about this and he talked about that, and I couldn't follow his outline. It's kind of interesting that we get used to certain things being certain ways sometimes. But as we look back at Jesus' sermon, certainly there are topics that he's touching on. Certainly there is a common theme that runs through all of those topics, and it is righteousness. That's what he's looking for, righteousness. Not false righteousness, not a showy righteousness, but true righteousness, being right with God. And so because of that, well, because our lives touch on so many different areas where we need to be right with God, he touches on several different subjects, several different topics, all of which are areas in our lives where we need to be right with God. And that's what he's dealing with throughout. We've looked at some things where he said, "You've heard it that it was said, but I say to you." And we're looking at another one of those tonight. This particular one, the others, he just seems like kind of tweaked things a little bit. Like they had it kind of right, but not quite. It just needed a little correction. He talked about, you know, the looking at a woman to lust after her as adultery. And so he's saying it's not just that one action, it's the heart that leads to it. So he's kind of correcting things a little bit. He talked about, you know, not just murder, but being angry, and we looked at that. And then he corrects their view of divorce and remarriage and that concept, and so he deals with that. But now, as we come down to verse number 33 of Matthew chapter 5, he's going to bring up something from the Old Testament, from the law of Moses, and from their practice that is something that he's going to completely go 180 degrees the other direction. See, the others, it seems like he just kind of did a little course correction, a little bit this way or that way. You need to work on this, you need to work on attitude or something. But here, and really attitude is at the root of what he's getting at, but here he actually completely goes the other way. Let's look at these verses. Look primarily at verses 33 through 37 tonight. "Again, you have heard that it has been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by the head, thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these comes of evil." So we look at that. First he says, you've heard those of old time say, don't forswear yourself. Now, forswearing is kind of an odd term. That's not one we use anymore. We would probably use the term perjure yourself. Perjury. We've heard that term before. We use that in court of law. If you swear to something that's not true, or if you swear to something and then don't follow through with it, you're in violation of a contract perhaps because you agreed to do something, said you'd do it, and didn't follow through with it. And that's the idea he's talking about. Notice the but, that you shall not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord your oaths. We have to understand that in the Old Testament, the making of oaths, swearing, not cussing. I know some people use the term swearing to talk about when people are cussing and using foul language. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about taking an oath, swearing to do something, promising with my, you know, on my mother's grave, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. I swear on a stack of Bibles. We've heard those kinds of phrases, haven't we? That's what we're talking about. In the Old Testament, that was not only a common practice, it was actually something that was taught in the Law of Moses. A few examples of that, certainly there are plenty of them. Leviticus 19:12 mentions it. Numbers 30 and verse 2. In fact, in these places, in Deuteronomy 6:13 and 10:20 also, in these places, some of these, God actually says, "You shall swear by my name. I am your God, and you swear by me, by my name." And so it wasn't that this was something that God had always said was wrong. Ezra 10:5 and Nehemiah 13:25, Ezra and Nehemiah, two of the leaders, two of the righteous men, forced the people to swear to God that they would do what was right. They made them swear oaths to God, promising that they would do what God had commanded them to do in both of those passages. In fact, in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 15, in verse number 1, the question is asked, "Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell in your holy hill?" And he goes on to explain who that will be, the one that walks uprightly and works righteousness. And he goes on all the way down to verse number 4, where he says, "He that swears to his own hurt and does not change." So he says, back in those days, when you made an oath, you swore you were going to do something, you better do it. Even if it hurt you, even if it caused you harm, even if it cost you money, even if it was a problem for you, you had to follow through with it. That's what the Old Testament taught on the matter. Now here's Jesus. He comes along. And he says, "But let me tell you something different. I'm telling you, don't swear at all." Now why do you suppose he did that? What was wrong with the practice? I mean, God had even instituted it, you might say. Making it a practice that they swear their oaths to me and they shall perform them, he says in the old law. What happens? Well, Jesus gives some reasons for us not to swear, and he talks about some of the things that people would swear by. I guess people still swear by some of those same things today, but now they have a million other things they swear by, like their mama's grave. That one, boy, that's a common one. People swear by all the time. But he says a few things. First of all, he says, you don't swear by heaven. That's God's throne. And you don't have any right to it. You don't have any right to swear by His throne. And then he says, and what about the earth? You don't swear by the earth? Well, that's His footstool. You have no rights to anything on it either. The cattle on a thousand hills are His. And so are the hills and the valleys and the grass and the sky and the sea. And it's all His. We don't have any right to be swearing by that. And then he says in Jerusalem, it's the city of the great King. We debate about whether he's talking about the great King just being the King of Israel, or whether he's talking about God being the great King of Israel. But certainly, Jerusalem is, God had promised back in the Old Testament, "I will choose a city and place my name there," and Jerusalem was the city he chose. So Jesus said, don't go swearing by Jerusalem. And then he says, even your own head. You remember that? Remember the three little pigs? And the wolf comes up to the door and says, "Little pig, let me in." And what did the little pig say? "Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin." And you know what Jesus said? "You don't have any control over it. You can't even make one hair white or black." Now somebody that wants to be contentious or quick with it. Oh yeah, we got dye, we got hair coloring treatment. We can dye our hair. Well, you know, while that's a false argument in the first place, the fact of the matter is, yeah, you can paint your hair, but that doesn't change whether it's black or white. Genetically, inside, a microbiologist can look at that hair and still know what color it was. You can dye it pink or purple or blue or black or white or green or yeah, whatever color you want to dye it doesn't change what color it is. Oh, I know it looks different to us. That's why people do it. You know, they color their hair to look a certain way. And that's all good and fine if they want to do that. But it doesn't change what Jesus said. You can't actually change any of those hairs. You can paint them. You can color them up however you want to. You can use a magic marker or you can use one of these expensive fancy things from the store to try to color it a different color. But you haven't really changed anything. And so he tells them, don't do it. And then he gives the real reason in verse 37. So we look at verse 37, here's what he says. And it's worded really kind of awkwardly in the King James that some things are, because, well, that was 400 years ago, and people talked a little different then. But he says, let your communication be yea, yea. What does he mean by that? Yea, yea. In other words, he says, let your yes be a yes. If you say something is true, if you say you're going to do something, why should you need to swear on a stack of Bibles? Let your word be your bond. Be as good as your word. If you said you're going to do it, why should you have to make all sorts of promises and swear by all sorts of things and make all sorts of oaths that you're going to do it? Just do it. You said you'd do it, do it. Be a man or woman, for that matter, of your word. And then he says, and your nay, nay. They're the same thing. If you say no, make it mean no. Don't be wishy-washy. Don't be flipping back and forth. Do what you say you're going to do. Don't do what you say you're not going to do. That's not so complicated, is it? Sounds pretty simple. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing, was making it simple. Because as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we are supposed to speak the truth all the time, aren't we? So if we're speaking the truth, what more is there? I find it interesting, and I don't know for certain. I've never been called to testify at court. I've been called to jury duty, but I've never been actually called to be, you know, one of the people that testified. And so I wonder about that. But, you know, it's really odd to me that they have people lay their hand on a Bible and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and so help me God. And they lay their hand on the book wherein Jesus said, don't swear. That seems a little odd to me. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't to you. But that seems a little unusual that we'd lay our hand on a book that says don't swear and then swear on it. But here's the problem. Jesus says you should mean what you mean. Say what you mean what you say. Don't be two-faced about it. Don't use all sorts of double entendres and trick wording and we got a lot of that in our society today, don't we? All these, you know, any kind of agreement. You know, it used to be two people say, you know, I'm going to sell you this for $100, and they say, okay, $100, here's the $100, okay, here's the thing, and everybody was okay with that, and they'd shake hands and go their way, didn't they? Now we've got to have 7 or 8 pages of legalese to make sure that nobody cheats somebody in that process. That's one more sign that we're getting further and further away from being like Jesus wanted us to be. Jesus wanted us to be people who could be trusted. That if we said we'd do it, we'd do it. I was telling something to someone the other day, and they can't. They said, and I said, well, you know, we probably need to have a little bit of paperwork. We made one little page to make sure that, you know, it's kind of legal-like. But he said, well, you know, one time I tried to buy something from somebody. I think it was he was trying to buy a trailer or something like that from somebody. And the guy came back and said, I didn't make the payment and just took it away from me. He said, I made the payments. But he just came back and said, I didn't make the payment and took it away. I said, well, yeah, you know, you kind of, because people are that way nowadays, we feel like we've kind of got to cover ourselves. Don't we? We've kind of got to write a few little rules and sign things. But it's kind of sad that our world has gotten to that point. But you know, Jesus' world was in the same boat. It's interesting, James 5:12 basically echoes what Jesus said here on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. But one of the problems Jesus was dealing with is the same problem we have today, of people saying they're going to do something and then not living up to it. We have a big problem in our society today with some of the bankruptcy law and with some of the foreclosure law where people are doing things where they use some legal trickery to get out of doing what they said they'd do. They do what they call a strategic foreclosure, where they've got the money to pay the payment, but they just don't want to pay the payment because they don't want to live in that house anymore. They want to live in this other house, and so they just let that one go back to the bank. Even though they had signed, and you know, I was there when Shirley bought her house, and boy, there's a lot of, you got to sign about a stack of papers this big. And even though they had signed all those papers saying they were going to pay it, saying they were going to do it, they decided it was inconvenient and they weren't going to do it anymore. And so they just said, I'm going to quit. I'm going to just let the bank have it. Let it go back and be foreclosed on. Well, Jesus' day, they had some of that same kind of thing, some of that same kind of looking for the loopholes, looking for a way out. In fact, the scribes and Pharisees, remember he said our righteousness had to exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees? Remember that? We talked about that a few weeks ago. Well, the scribes and Pharisees did kind of like kids do. I don't know, did you ever see kids? Maybe you did it when you were a kid. I won't admit that I did it, but I won't deny that I did either. All right, so I'll just say I can't remember for sure. How about that? But do you ever remember kids, they'd cross their fingers, stick it behind their back, and then they'd say, I'm going to give you $5. And then they'd say, you're going to give me $5? Yeah, I'm going to give you $5. You swear to it? Yeah, I swear to it. I promise you, I'm going to give you $5. Oh, give me my $5. I have my fingers crossed. It doesn't count. You ever see kids do something like that? They'll do it. Well, you know, the scribes and Pharisees may have been adults, but they sure were childish. Because here's what Jesus says about them. In fact, over in Matthew chapter 23, in the midst of his woes on the scribes and Pharisees, and boy, we'll get to that and cover it in more depth later on. But in the midst of that, down at verse 16, he says, woe to you blind guides. And he's talking to the scribes and Pharisees, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it's nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. So you know, you go up to the Pharisee and you say, you know, hey, I want to buy that camel you got there. And he says, okay, I'll sell you this camel for $50. Well, 50 shekels, how about that? Because that's what they use. And you say, okay, I'll pay 50 shekels for the camel. And he says, well, I swear by the temple, I'll sell it to you for 50 shekels. And so you say, okay, I'm going to go to the banker over here, the usurer, and I'm going to get that 50 shekels, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to buy that camel from him. Okay. And so the next day you come back, and you got your 50 shekels, and say, I want to buy your camel from you. And he says, it's going to be 100 shekels. And you, but yesterday, you swore to me that you'd sell it to me for 50. He said, oh yeah, but I swore by the temple. I didn't swear by the gold in the temple, so that doesn't count. Just like that kid that said, I got my fingers crossed, it doesn't count. That's the same thing that these Pharisees were doing. The scribes and Pharisees had all these little tricks. Notice what else he says. He goes on in verse 17. He asks them the question. He says, you fools and blind. which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? You see, the temple was a holy place, and the gold that had been put into service in the temple had to be sanctified. They had to sprinkle blood on it and water of purification and all those things to sanctify it to be used in the temple. And so Jesus asked the question, which is really more value, the temple or the gold? You see, they'd say you swear by the temple and it didn't mean anything. But all that gold. Well, see, the gold was nothing except for the fact that it was in the temple. That's the only thing that made it special. Any different than any other gold in the world was that it was in the temple and sanctified. And then he goes on in verse 18, he says, and whosoever, this is the other thing they'd say, whosoever shall swear by the altar, it's nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gift that's on it, he's guilty. He's got to do what he said he'd do. The hypocrisy of these folks. Look at the legal haranguing that they've done and twisting things to try to make it fit their desires. And he asks the question again, and you fools and blind, what's greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? And then he explains something to them. And he didn't explain this back in Matthew 5, but he's going to explain it to them over here in Matthew 23. Whoso therefore swears by the altar, swears by it and everything that's on it. If you're swearing by the altar, you can't not be swearing by the things on the altar. That's part of the altar. That's part of the process. And whoever swears by the temple is swearing by it and everything that's in it. He says, you know, basically, you guys are playing word games here, and it's a fake game. And you've got it rigged, so you're going to win every time, and that's just not right. And you're cheating people. And it was because of these practices, because of this, that Jesus said, you know what? My followers just don't swear at all. You just be true. Live a life of truth. And you won't have to swear about anything. Because why do people, when people say, well, I'd swear on a stack of Bibles, why do they say that? You know why they say that? Well, most of the time it's because they're making it up, but they want to convince you that they're telling the truth. But they're lying. Because if somebody's trustworthy and they're telling the truth, why would they need to swear on a stack of Bibles? That's not going to make it any more true or any less true. It's not going to change the facts of the statement that they've made. And then he says one more thing there in Matthew 23. Not only does he say that when you swear by the temple, you're swearing by it and everything in it, but he says, and by Him that dwells therein. And he that swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by the one that sits on it. And so these Pharisees had all sorts of double standards, different rules for them and everybody else. And we've got to beware of that. Jesus didn't want us to be like that. We need to make a determination in our life that when I open my mouth and speak, I'm going to tell the truth. I won't have to swear I'm going to do it or promise I'm going to do it or make some sort of oath. I'll just do it. When I say something, I don't have to swear it's true. Everybody will know it's true because I'm a person that tells the truth. And if we live that way, people will know it. And if we don't live that way, I mean, I've known some folks that are crooked, and that are liars. And I don't care how many oaths and swearing on this, that, and everything else under the sun, and above the sun, and in heaven, and everywhere else. I don't care what they swear on. I still don't believe them. There's some folks, and you've met some of them, that if they told you 2 plus 2 was 4, you'd check it. Because you can't trust them. I think of the old saying, I don't trust him any further than I could throw him. And yet, that's the way some people are, but Jesus says as His followers, we're supposed to be different than that. We're supposed to be people who can be trusted because we do what's right. And we say what's right, and we live what's right. We don't make stuff up, and we don't try to use verbal trickery to try to say one thing and mean another. Now that doesn't necessarily mean that we don't ever use sarcasm, but we don't use it to try to trick somebody, to try to deceive somebody. Sometimes people will use the truth to try to deceive because they'll use just a piece of it. That's the reason in court that they tell people the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I used to get in trouble with this with my parents, and it took me a while to learn this, but my parents, I'd go to school, and then on the way home, I'd stop by my friend's house. I'd walk him home, and then when we got to his house, we'd play basketball or play video games or watch cartoons or something for, who knows, 30 minutes or an hour or until it got dark, and then I better get on home. And of course, that my parents are calling all of my friends' parents to find out where I am. But I get home, and my parents say, "Where'd you go? What took you so long to get home?" "Well, I walked so-and-so home." Was that true? Well, yeah, it was true, but it wasn't the whole truth. Because if I'd have just walked them home and then gone on home myself, I wouldn't have been an hour late getting home. It wasn't that far out of the way. Or maybe when I was a little older, when I was a teenager, and I'd go, maybe went out to a movie or maybe out to eat with my friends at Taco Bell and get the free water and share an order of cinnamon twist, you know, and that's about all the money we had between the four of us. And we'd do that, and then we'd go somewhere else we weren't supposed to. And I'd come home, and my parents would say, "Well, where have you been?" I said, "Well, we went to Taco Bell." Was that true? Yeah, it was true. We went to Taco Bell. But that wasn't the whole truth. There were some things missing in there that I didn't tell them where else we went or what we did on the way. I remember one particular case. I've already told my parents about this, so I'll call them and tell them to listen to this sermon. But on one particular case, we did just that. Went to Taco Bell. Went and picked my friend up at his house, and we took the long way so we could go down the dirt road. You know, so we could drive real fast and dangerous like some teenagers sometimes do. And in the process, I lost control of the car, and we didn't run off the road. We spun out on that gravel road. And you know, the oddest thing happened. One of those little pieces of gravel got stuck between the rim and the tire. And so we went on to Taco Bell. It was just a couple more miles. And we got there and parked the car. And you know, the weird thing about a rock being stuck between the rim and the tire, you know what happens? It lets the air out. I don't know why it does that. And so we got out of that restaurant, and you know what we found? That car had a flat tire. Changed the flat tire. Why are you late? Well, after we got out of Taco Bell, it was a flat tire. Well, why was the tire broke? I don't know. Don't know. Don't know what could happen. Well, where did you go? Well, just went to Taco Bell. That's all. Went to Taco Bell, yeah. Telling the truth on that part, but not telling it all. Integrity and honesty matters. telling the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You know, some of us like to stretch the story a little bit. I mean, did I ever tell you about the time I caught a fish that was this long? Yeah, that long right there. That's how long it was, right there. But it was this long. Well, that's it. But we stretch things, and we think that's okay. Jesus didn't think that was okay to stretch the truth. We'd be in bad shape if Jesus didn't tell us the whole truth, or if He told us something in addition to the truth. We'd be in bad shape, wouldn't we? If we couldn't trust what Jesus said, what He said about how we could be forgiven. Oh yeah, but I forgot to tell you one more thing. You've got to have $5 million before you can go to heaven. Oh, sorry, I forgot to tell you all that part. We'd all be in bad shape if He forgot to tell us something. Didn't left something out. Or if He told us, oh, you know that y'all were expecting to get to go to heaven. Well, you know there's not really one. I just wanted y'all to live good while you were on earth. Really, when you die, that's the end of it. I just made up that part about heaven. Now, there's a lot of people that think Jesus did make up stuff like that and don't think it's real. But if He had really made up stuff, if He had really not told us that, we'd be in bad shape. Well, see, if we're going to be like Him, if we're going to be His followers, we've got to tell the truth. We've got to live the truth. Jesus was the embodiment of truth. Certainly John said it. John 1:17, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We need to be like Him. We talked this morning about self-examination. First person we need to be true with is ourselves. We will never be true with anyone else before we're true to ourselves and with ourselves. But be honest tonight. Are you honest? Do you let your yes be yes and your no, no? Jesus said that anything more than that comes from evil. It's some attempt to cover up, to deceive, to build yourself up. You know, we tell people, I hope, the whole truth about the gospel. It's a sad thing that many in the religious world don't. They tell people, just believe in Jesus and invite Him into your heart and everything will be okay. That's not what Jesus said. That's not what the Bible says. Do we need to believe in Jesus? Oh yes, absolutely. But is that enough? Is that the whole truth? No, it's not. We certainly need to believe, but we also need to repent. Luke 3:8-9 says, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. And we'd have to be willing to confess as well, Acts 8:37. The Ethiopian eunuch confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I believe it with my whole heart. He said so. Then we've got to be willing to allow someone to baptize us into Christ. You know, it's interesting, of all of those things, hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Being baptized is the one that's not really a work on your part. It's the operation of God. It's God's work on you. That's where He cleanses you of your sin. You just have to let Him do it. I mean, any operation you go in for, you don't do any of the work. The surgeon does the work, and God's the surgeon. If you've believed and repented and confessed Him, then when you go in for that baptism, He will surgically remove all of the sin from your life. How He does it, I don't know. He's a great surgeon. He removed it all. And then we rise to walk a new life, and we must be faithful to Him and not neglect so great a salvation, Hebrews 2:2-3 tells us. We can't neglect this salvation. We've got to work at it. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, That's how you become one. If you are a Christian is one who's like Christ, Christ-like, a follower of Christ. If you're a Christian, then follow Him in this. Make the determination that you're going to live a life of integrity, a life of honesty and truth. Not just in the things you say at church, but day in and day out. All the time. It'll simplify your life. I can't remember who the quotation should be attributed to, but I know it wasn't me that came up with the saying, "The truth is better than a lie, because if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember what you said." And when somebody starts telling lies, they got to remember who they told which lie to. So they say, "Well, I got to tell this one this, and I got to tell that one that." And if you just tell everybody the truth, that makes things a whole lot simpler in your life. If you need to respond to the invitation tonight, please do it as we stand and as we sing.